All right, enough to get started. Morning, everyone. I can see the dark clouds. The horizon is completely gray from this little perspective of the ventilation. Seems like a perfect day to be having a seminar on water. Okay, and so today's seminar is on water management. And we have Toby from Water Harvest who will give us an overview of the work Water Harvest is doing in desilting the local water catchment tanks. We are supposed to have Yap, a green belter, who's probably on his way here unless he's out planting trees, to talk about bunding and afforestation in our own plateau. And finally, we have arranged for Tensi to come and talk about wastewater treatment plants that CSR puts up. To me, the single biggest challenge of the water in the bioregion is the state of our underground aquifers. And sometime in 1968, Garrett Hardin, he wrote this very influential article called The Tragedy of the Commons, showing that if there is a resource which is used by a number of people, which is used by common people in masses, then the least care is bestowed into using that resource sustainably. And here in Oroville, we see this over the years. I've always noticed this with our underground water aquifers, because of course the underground aquifers are over a certain region, and the villagers use it as well as Orovillians. And the farmers in the region are actually given free electricity to pump out water. So there is no cost to the individual user in using the common resource, and the benefits are the greatest, or the benefits are even wasted because the farmers often leave their water pump running. And that is the single biggest threat. So what I have for you by means of introduction is a small movie on the tragedy of the commons. The pictures actually don't matter. The pictures are just abstract, it's fractals. And I'll follow this movie by an analysis of a Nobel Prize winning economist, Eleanor Ostrom, who says that once upon a time, even the common resources were being sustainably managed. And she talks about how, in order to match the complexity of natural systems, we should have management systems which are equally complex. In our Living Roots class, we had a seminar on systems thinking, looking at how systems function. And the natural systems are incredibly diverse, have incredible feedback loops, which allows them to sustain, which allows them to continue for long periods of time and evolve. And we need that sort of complexity in our own human lives and society. So here's Garrett Hardin.
Has proven a useful concept for understanding. Ecologist Garrett Hardin's Tragedy of the Commons has proven a useful concept for understanding how we have come to be at the brink of numerous environmental catastrophes. People face a dangerous situation created not by malicious outside forces, but by the apparently appropriate and innocent behaviors of many individuals acting alone. Hardin's parable involves a pasture open to all. He asks us to imagine the grazing of animals on a common ground. Individuals are motivated to add their flock to increase personal wealth. Yet every animal added to the total degrades the common by a small amount. Although the degradation for each additional animal is small relative to the gain in wealth for each owner, if all owners follow this pattern, the commons will ultimately be destroyed. And, being rational actors, each owner adds to their flock. Therein is the tragedy. Each man is locked into a system that compels him to increase his herd without limit in a world that is limited. Ruin is the destination toward which all men rush, each pursuing his own interests in a society that believes in the freedom of the commons. Despite its perception as revolutionary, Hardin's tragedy was not a new concept. Its intellectual roots trace back to Aristotle, who noted that what is in common to the greatest number has the least care bestowed upon it, as well as to Hobbes and his Leviathan. More recently, William Forster Lloyd identified in 1833 the problems resulting from property owned in common. Yet if all that was at stake here was grazing land in the 1800s, this would be an issue for historians alone. Hardin immediately recognized that this concept applies in its broader sense to a great many modern environmental problems. Simply stated, we face a serious dilemma, an instance where individual rational behavior can cause long-term harm to the environment, others, and ultimately oneself. This isn't just theory. I'm sure some of you have seen those pictures from outer space over the Congo where privately held land bumps up against common land. The private land is much nicer and is greener and more full. This has to do with incentives. The man who has his own land has a good reason to maintain it and not to overgraze. He won't overload the field because he pays the entire price of its degradation and therefore will not do it. On common land, the price is more diffuse and the gains are concentrated. Therefore, each rancher has close to nothing to gain from conserving the resource, and so he doesn't. And none of the ranchers conserve, and then the field becomes degraded and the resource destroyed. Completely unregulated land will result in a tragedy of the commons, and this is why land is regulated. When a factory dumps into a river, that factory pays a very small price for doing so, but the entire river pays as well. The cost for dumping may actually be higher than the benefit to the factory, but the factory is only paying a tiny portion of that cost, and therefore, unregulated will dump. This is why industries must be regulated, and the regulation can come in the form of a law or a private boycott, but laws are typically more effective. But to take it to another level, there could also be a global tragedy of the commons in relation to greenhouse gases. Each country has relatively little to gain by limiting emissions, but if every country increases greenhouse gas emissions at the current rate, the effect could be catastrophic. And before someone posts a comment that says something like this, let me tell you that people who believe in anthropogenic global warming are not claiming that man is producing massive amounts of greenhouse gases, just that they are producing a fractional amount more, which drives climate change. The fact that water vapor is indeed the most powerful greenhouse gas is meaningless if man's pissant contribution can actually drive climate change. But a tragedy of the commons can be used to justify regulation, because left to its own devices, a competitive market will overuse whatever resources it uses, because each company has little to gain by conserving. And as our economies become larger, expect this peculiar form of market failure to become more and more common. And this can also apply to immigration.
One economic answer into managing commons has been to privatize it. But that actually also leads to the same tragedy of commons, because if anything else, private corporations are even more invested in maximizing their profits and harvesting the common resources, over-extracting the common resources before they can be sustainably renewed. So I'll just show you another short video. This is Eleanor Ostrom. Some help here, I don't know. All right, okay, here we go. Yeah, I'm good. Yeah, thanks. So, she is proposing that, as I said, that we need to develop complex human management systems, societies, organizations, which mimic the complexity of a natural systems. I'm sorry that both the videos had the drawbacks. One was too abstract and one was the old traditional chalkboard, not really images of the content that they were using of what they were speaking about.
Do you want to make
comments or no? Sure, let's have a few comments about this. Let me just skip this. Yeah, I just would perhaps like to preface it by, I think having that sort of complexity that Eleanor Ostrom is talking about is actually our ideal in Orwell, to have a divine anarchy. And that Orwellians are resistant to top-down solutions. But she doesn't propose any solutions, and we are still struggling with finding ways to manage complexity. But
I wanted to make one comment here. This division of commons and individuals who have properties, I think it's a wrong division. The very idea that commons misuse land is based on the same individual desire to possess and to, as she said very rightly, suckers. If you don't do that, if the very idea to make a surplus always, to put less and to take more, is within the economic drive of today. And if you are a good businessman, you have to put less and get more. And that's how you are measured as successful. So what's wrong with commons? They put less and take more. So the same psychology is there in both. So to say that commons are different from individuals building their business because they have to pay bills everywhere to be successful and to show up that they are good, they are taking care of the environment, is a masquerade of some kind. Of course it works to a certain extent,
right, yeah.
But we know how it doesn't work also to a certain extent. So it becomes a screen behind which there are other dealings going on, and we know it. Very well, that's why we are here where we are. It's not about commons misusing land. It's about something else. It's about psychology of not integrally built man who needs to put less and take more because he is not yet there. He is not yet fully fulfilled in his life. We have to look into that matter and not to compare them because this dialectics is wrong altogether.
And this Malthusian model of there is an island with limited resources, and at one point you reach peak oil and then you go down the drain, or you reach peak phosphorus or peak water and then you will go down. All this is an old approach, but it often helps to make things a little bit simpler in understanding. But there are new approaches to the same phenomena. It is you do not see just that island of limited resources. You see as a driving factor behind human history a drive towards complexity and complexity of interchanges and interaction which benefit everybody.
Mm.
So the complexity is a benefit for everybody. It's not that, no, the more you are, the less everybody has, and you only think on those material terms for the physical resources or whatever. You think more in the more interactive your life is, the more richer it can become in a community, in a society. And this is a driving factor throughout history. You have ups and downs of empires and collapses and the next thing and the next victory and the next defeat and whatnot. But you have also throughout history a drive towards if the next invasion breaks the stagnant empire, then it will happen. The empire will collapse, will be destroyed. But actually the invader does not just create tabula rasa and start from the scratch. Most of them use very well what has been there and build upon it. And the next step is a higher complexity, either in 50 years or in 500 years. And it's actually an enriched society, culturally, materially, psychology. So you can explain it from the point of view of the intrinsic being, but in community the same is true. On a collective level, even the same is true. Society wants to be more integral. Society wants to be more interactive with each other and richer and more fulfilling. So
it's another word for integrality complexity.
Yeah.
It's one step, so to say, it happened, there will be integrality.
Yeah.
But before that, there is a complexity.
But the picture of the tragedy of the commons is a good picture to explain it to simple things. And it not only applies to the meadow and the water of our aquifers, it is
greenhouse gases.
The street, I clean my house, but I dump on the street. That is the tragedy of the commons.
One point what I was bringing to this tragedy of the commons, that this tragedy of the commons is unrestricted individualism, and it is not something else. So to say that it is opposite to that, that when you are an owner, then you will take care of things, is not true.
Right. There is a slight difference. It's the same mindset. I agree fully. It's the same mindset. It's not an integral evolved being. The thing is, if you have individual ownership as opposed to common ownership, the cost that the individual bears there are more costs involved. With the common costs, you dump on the streets and you are not paying for the cleanup of the streets. So you're maximizing the benefits and the costs are diffused in the common system. That's the tragedy of the commons.
All right, it is the same going on the baby scale if you see countries where
exactly, totally.
Somewhere to other countries.
Totally. Yeah.
So it is happening.
Yeah.
There will be always this drive, which is in itself is wrong.
Yeah, it's because it comes from a mindset which is...
It's not about commons. I lived in Soviet Union, sorry. I've seen the best of it, what common mind may do. And it is the same drive. That's why it failed. It's not because of anything else. You cannot blame this kind of common mindset. There is no such thing.
But the real question is how to make the step. And is it knowledge that will move people to make the shift? What will move people like an Orville to be?
You guys have been longer here than me. You should answer. I agree. It requires... and actually that was one of our first definitions when we started the seminar and we're defining integral sustainability. And we're going back to Sri Aurobindo's vision of what integral means. And it is, to me, it would require a significant evolution of consciousness in order to go to the next step of individual and society.
Exactly. According to Sri Aurobindo, all human race is not sustainable. So all the solutions what we intend to gather.
It requires the collapse of all the
The only thing nice about mass extinctions is that so far in... the Earth's history, something new has come out, flowered out of a mass extinction.